So I think we should essentially start, and then let's see. So Sherry is the one who usually does the honors.
Well, yes, this is a meeting to discuss a potential MOU, COVID MOU that the United Faculty of Florida, UCF chapter, presented to the UCF Board Trustees team last week. And we are here today on August 25th at 2 o'clock to discuss.
Thank you. Thank you for agreeing to do this. And I think you have, I guess you have our MOU.
I do.
So you probably have a response to that. And so let's maybe we should do that. Is that the way to do it, or should we go over our MOU? I think since we presented it already, we
You
probably
presented already. So
And the MOU for all those attending, the MOU is on our website, so it can be seen there. And we'll be happy to answer any questions. Also, if anybody from the audience wanted to speak, let us know. We can arrange that. But yeah, go ahead, Sherry.
Well, it's a lot. As you requested, I presented the MOU to the provost. I actually emailed it to him the very same day that you sent it to me. And I've had two subsequent conversations with him. One the day, I think the day after you submitted it to me. And then again last week after the Board of Trustees meeting, I believe, we spoke again. And I know that what I have to say is not going to be well received, not going to make you happy, but there is very, very little in this that the university feels that it is able to accept and at the moment. So, and I think the things that we are able to accept are things that we pretty much are already covered by the CBA. For example, that we'll use our best efforts to inform UCF. If there are employees, if there are changes arising from the variant and we have to make a change in assignment, we already do that. It's provided for in Article 9, it's 9.3C. Certainly employees who have believed that they need an accommodation are invited and always welcome to apply with OIE for that. The provost has stated in several emails that he sent out, I believe, or at least I know I've read in one, I don't get copied on all of them, that employees may hold their office hours online or in person or a combination of both. And employees who cannot perform their duties due to contracting COVID or caring for an immediate family member who's diagnosed with COVID may use the leave provided for in Article 17 or request additional leave from the Knights Care Leave Share Program. I never can quite get that right. And of course, we will continue to use our best efforts to inform all UCF employees and students on our crisis management response through email and the university's COVID-19 webpage. But that is the limit of what we are willing to agree to or able to agree to at this time.
So, but that my response to that is, and I'm sure that I'm saying it to you, who totally understands it as well, is that we all recognize that these are very unusual times, and whatever is in the CBA, even if some of what we are saying here is covered, it still makes sense to highlight it and to bring it out because. We are being contacted by colleagues, both, me personally as being UFF and just me as a faculty member. I'm being contacted because people are worried and want to know what to do under various circumstances. For all the reasons that everyone here understands, we have our major problem is that we are being forced to teach face to face without a mask mandate and without a vaccination mandate. This is you know, we are a handful of universities in the country. I can't say Florida because it is all of Florida that is being faced. Of course, we do have educational institutions in Florida that are defying that order because the order is insane. It is, you know, morally incorrect. People are being thrown in front. I mean, knowing that just a simple mask can protect them and that protection is not being taken. This is really, really insane. So that basically does raise this question, right? Does the BOT or the governor or whoever is making these orders think about faculty? I mean, you know, you have to think about the morale of the people, and we think about, you know, a lot of faculty have children, they have parents, they've got people that they have to care about, they've got people who are more vulnerable, people like children who cannot be vaccinated. So you know, there's fear that's there, and it's not an imagination. I mean, yesterday Florida hit. I don't even believe the news, but it did say on television as I saw it that it was the highest and largest number of deaths in Florida was yesterday. I mean, I it's mind-boggling. Whether it was largest or not, people are dying of COVID-19, and Florida is at the top of the list in the country. And Florida is the place where this is going on. You know, at UC Davis, I had a colleague tell me that they're going face to face. I said, we are too, but we have no mask mandate and no vaccination mandate. They said, that's crazy. What is the faculty doing about this? So you know, this is something that you have to, as a human being, as somebody who's going through this, we have to all understand that. What that means is that we have to do what we can to provide at least the support and at least the direct directions, you know, not confusion, but directions as to what they need to do should something arise, either if they catch COVID or somebody in their classroom has COVID, or if students in their class are worried that they're going to get COVID. So, you know, things have got muddled up quite a bit. So I think the MOU, and I understand that there are limits to which you can go to because of the restrictions that have been imposed on you. But even with those restrictions, I think we can make a very clear case about what faculty can do or cannot do in their classroom. And I think I would urge you to basically take those points. I don't think we will be unreasonable. I mean, we will not be. We will go through this one step by step. And we would like to come up with a set of guidelines in the MOU that then faculty at least have in front of them so that if they're faced with the decisions, they can go to that. So that's why I think it's important that there be an MOU.
Sherry, can I interject here? Because I'd like to take a point with one of the concerns you raised, and that's specifically with Interim Provost Mike Johnson's statement that office hours can be virtual for all instructors, and we appreciated that. However, that is not policy, and as we all know, Provost Johnson is an interim provost, so he could be replaced, and we've seen provosts replaced pretty quickly on this campus. And then what happens if the next provost says, well, I'm not going to honor this, you know, virtual office hours that will be for all faculty? We need this in the MOU so that we could grieve it. This is a right that we should have. Mike Johnson has promised it to us, but Mike Johnson cannot promise it if he is no longer around. And if we have rogue department chairs, rogue deans, and we've seen this. Sherry, you've seen this because we brought it to your attention before, who don't go by what academic affairs says, who don't go by the policies, who don't go by the CBA. What happens when that department chair says, no, virtual office hours, we don't do that here. You know, and you're giving us no mechanism to grieve, no mechanism to right that wrong if we don't have it in this MOU?
Well, in terms of rogue chairs or rogue administrators of whatever stripe, when you have brought that to my attention, whether it was in the CBA or in an MOU, we have corrected it. Now, when the provost makes, when we have a provost says, this is the policy of the university, this is what I am telling people, I'm empowered then to tell that chair, no, the provost has said this, this is what we're going to do. The fact that we have it in an MOU or in some other document is, if it is something that we have adopted as the provost has said, this is what the university is going to do, we're going to do it. We're going to honor that. I'm having a problem here with this whole concept of doing impact bargaining over this COVID situation now, because impact bargaining is really supposed to be when the employer exercises a management right that somehow contravenes the terms and conditions of employment as those are stated in the CBA or by Florida statute or in university rules or policies, which was appropriate when we had a situation where all of a sudden the university said, okay, we are shutting down for all intents and purposes. We are sending everybody home, and now everybody has to switch to a completely different mode of instruction in overnight. That was an appropriate use of impact bargaining. We have made no management decisions here that do anything but say we're returning to what has been our standard operation of work, what we all are used to doing, what we all expect to do in our jobs. So we're not making the kinds of management decisions that impinge on the terms and conditions of work that we have all agreed on in the past. And I don't, you know, I'm willing to have discussions with you, but because of that, I'm not willing to characterize this as impact bargaining and to do a binding MOU on these things. I've said that it's binding, it's just I don't think it's necessary at this point. And I, you know, I think that's where the university is in this circumstance. Because Talat is talking about in terms of, okay, what do faculty do if they have a student in their class that tests positive for COVID? We've put out multiple communications about that. There are multiple places where the faculty can go to find that information. And that information, by the way, is not even included in the MOU that you gave to me. What to do when, I mean, most of the sort of practical things that you're talking about is already out there for you to do. What is in the MOU is the desire of faculty to be able essentially to say, I get to determine what mode of teaching I want to engage in the fall. And we just don't have the ability, and we're not going to do that.
So Sherry, but we are still working under conditions which haven't changed, right? What has changed is that in March of last year, we did go overnight, we went to online, right? But then what has happened is that now we are back, we are told to go face-to-face when the conditions, safe conditions, are not being met. If there's a mask mandate, a vaccination mandate, I don't think we would be talking about an MOU, but there isn't. And what that means is that we should have the guidelines about what is to be done, and something that again can be grieved. And yes, we have spoken in the MOU mainly from the perspective of faculty members, because that's who we represent. And for that, what we are asking here is that a faculty member is responsible for his or her teaching, right? Her classroom. And how to work with that, and how to make sure now, apart from everything else, that it is safe for students, right? And there are things happening right now where people are being asked, students are coming and asking, how are you going to maintain my safety in this classroom, right? So what we are asking, there's a few simple things here. One is that a faculty, you know, in the statements that have come out from the provost office, faculty members have been asked not to question people whether they have they are vaccinated or not. There's no rule that says that individuals cannot be queried as to whether they are vaccinated or not. It is important because I can decide whether I want to have a face-to-face interaction outside the classroom with a student who's vaccinated or with who's not vaccinated. I would be not uncomfortable if the student is vaccinated. I could walk with the student outside the classroom and continue the discussion. But if the student is unvaccinated, I'm not going to be comfortable. And I think people who are not unvaccinated take that responsibility. And I think I think we should be able to determine that. So what this MOU basically does is that it clarifies questions that have been raised because of the statements that have come out from the provost office. So I think right now, for example, what I've heard, and others can speak to that more, is that there are cases where students are wanting to be online. Well, for them to be online, what accommodations are going to be made? So apparently this one student was sent to the dean's office. The dean's office then sent the student to Jana's office, and the Jana's office sent the student back to the faculty member. These things need to be clarified. We are creating confusion both for faculty and for students. And having an MOU and posting it at our websites and other places, people know what is going on. And so, you know, I would be foolish to ask you that put in the MOU that everyone be masked, right? Everyone mask up. I know that that's not going to happen. I wish it would. I wish we would do like the schools are doing, but that's not what we are asking. We're asking, okay, within the confines that we have, let's set rules such that we still maintain some modicum of safety and that the process is transparent to everyone, which it isn't, because not everybody goes and looks up the CBA and not everybody knows. I'll give you one brief example. In Provost statement, it says that, and people have asked me about that, that's why I'm bringing it up, that if a faculty member catches COVID, then and they are asked to quarantine, then what do they do? Well, it says that you tell your chair, fine, we will always do that. Then it says contact Jana. Well, what do we contact Jana for? It doesn't say that. Is permission to be obtained from Jana? It doesn't say that. I don't think Jana's office has the capability of being able to handle every case. As long as the faculty member has informed the chair knows that the faculty member is going and is going to be doing for 2 weeks or whatever the quarantine period is, the class will be online. So that's a clear statement. But when you put a statement there, inform chair and contact Jana, one doesn't know what is to be done. So there are things that are coming in statements. And again, I'm not trying to point fingers at anyone. And even the MOU that we put together may be not be clear enough. It will become clear through several iterations because we're all trying to deal with situations as they come. But having a clear set of rules in this document would be beneficial. And my question is that, given what we gave to you, is the BOT willing to come up with whatever changes you want to bring and give it to us and see where we take it?
May I add to something that you said, Talent?
Yes, please do.
My question is, in light of trying to get information about what we do when certain things happen, what do we do when a student in our course dies of COVID or a colleague dies of COVID in the department? I thought to myself the other day when a student was very sick and then dropped off the face of the earth, you know, I don't even know what the policy is at that point to inform or to find out more information, and had to spend, I would say, about an hour and a half, 2 hours trying to figure out what next step should be to try to figure out if this student was okay. And I still don't have clarification on that point. So I think it would be helpful to have some guidance about what happens when these things happen. If people continue to get sick, people are going to die. And so I think as faculty, we should have some information and guidance about that.
Thank you, Monique. John, you wanted to say something. Oh, and Kevin.
So Sherry, just to be clear, the Board of Trustees does not have a proposal or is not interested in engaging us in impact bargaining at this time. Is that the position?
That's the position.
Okay. Go ahead, Chair.
Which is not to say that we are not willing to, we understand the frustration. I mean, I certainly do. The board, after Robert made his presentation at the board last week, the board spent about 30 minutes talking about the various strategies for reopening campus fully for fall. And the board was satisfied with the responses that it received. So it didn't see the need to take any further action. That's pretty much where we are.
So do you recognize that the board changing from a remote environment back to a quote normal operation environment is a change and is utilizing its management rights to do so?
Say that again.
So you said before it's about you didn't think that there was a change. Like, for instance, we're going back to the standard, mm-hmm. for example, and the language that's been used is for returning to normal operations. So we can both acknowledge that between March 2020 and then starting, I think it was in summer B of 2021, where normal operations was declared, where we had more face-to-face classes and more campus activities, so on and so forth. So there is a change, and we are the certified agent to bargain terms and conditions of employment. And as we know, impact bargaining is about change. So we talk about management rights, which the university has the appropriate use to say, okay, with assignments and stuff. So it changed. So that's what we're here. We're bargaining over the change to quote, returning to normal operations. So when you say that we're not interested in bargaining and there is no change, we don't feel that that's correct, because we are bargaining safety in terms and conditions of employment. That's what we're doing in the MOU.
You're bargaining working the way we're supposed to work, all of us.
Which is a change from what we've been doing for the last year and a half.
Under hard circumstances.
What we've been doing the last year and a half was an aberration. It was the change. What we are doing now is simply restoring the normal process of working that we all have adhered to for as long as I've been working, and that we, we're adhering to the standards that are set for the terms and conditions of employment currently in the CBA. So we're not, what we did before was to take us out of that. Now we're just saying, no, we're this regular order.
But
this is what we have. This is what we have, what we bargained for to work. These are the terms and conditions we bargained to work under.
But the circumstances are not what they were before March 2020. If we were back to there being no COVID and no surge, no deaths, no peaks, and Florida leading the situation, then we wouldn't be talking about it. But you recognize that we are not out of danger. In fact, Florida is more in danger now than it was last March, March of 2020. I mean, I'm more afraid. I mean, I know more people who have died in the last few months than I did for the whole year. I mean, this is true for a lot of us. And I think part of the reason is that most of us who are most of the people that we are connected with, we have been very careful for the whole year. And now what's happening is that you're vaccinated and you are going around, but there are people who are not, and people are not wearing masks. and people are catching. And you know, we cannot deny that in Florida, the surge is right now, right?
And I'm not trying to deny it, Talat. I honestly am not. I know a lot of people are terrified, and there's circumstances under which I'm scared. Not, but yeah. I mean, this is the world. This is yeah. where we are. As
Sherry, if I may clarify, this management decision to return to face-to-face teaching without masks is going to cause deaths in the UCF community. That's pretty clear to everyone. And so my question now is, as we as faculty members, in participating with that decision, in propagating it, do we have legal liability for these deaths? And also, what is the legal liability for the provost, the president, and the board of trustees? People will be dying. We can't argue that. Within the UCF community, if not directly students, faculty, and staff, it's the families of student, faculty, and staffs that are at risk. There's a lot of people who perhaps chose not to be vaccinated, but I'm mostly worried about the children who don't have the option to get vaccinated. And they're going to be dying. And, you know, perhaps you're okay with that in terms of the moral responsibility. I'm asking a slightly different question now. Have you assessed the legal responsibility?
Yeah, well, I do not believe that there is liability for, certainly for individual faculty members. And I do not believe that the university has legal liability in the sense that you're describing it for anything that flows from this.
I mean, just following orders is not really a good legal defense.
No, and I would not argue that it is, but...
Doing the same thing as all the other SUS universities is not a good legal defense.
No, it is not.
So I think maybe what we need to do, Sherry, is that if you we could do one of two things. We could go and caucus and get to some idea about where we want to take it, or if you think that you can come back with it. So right now you don't have a counter proposal.
No, I do not.
Okay.
And Talat, with all due respect, and I say this honestly, I know people say when you preface something with all due respect, it really means you don't have any respect. So I caught myself before I said that, because I do have a lot of respect for you and for our faculty, and a lot of compassion, believe it or not. I do. I know you have a very, very difficult and challenging and in many instances frightening job right now. And I am sympathetic to that. I mean, maybe hard to believe, but I am. But most of the things that you have talked about today that you've asked about are things that we can provide information about what to do in certain circumstances. But it's not even in your MOU to start with, but it's not even something that we would typically put in an MOU. These types of certain, you know, what do I do if a student has COVID? What do I do if a student gets sick? Those are things that we have to provide guidance on through other documents that the university sends out. And those things change depending on the circumstances and where the epidemiology is, where the community spread is. All of those things can change. And if you put them into an MOU, you deny yourself the flexibility to react to changing conditions on the ground. So that type of guidance we can certainly provide to faculty without entering into any kind of MOU. And as you provide me with questions, I will get answers for those, and we can put them in documents and send them to faculty.
What guidance is being provided to faculty to ensure that COVID does not spread in their classroom?
I can't provide guidance that says COVID won't spread in their classrooms. I can't provide guidance that if I go to Publix that I won't catch COVID, because there are people there that aren't masked and that aren't vaccinated.
But if faculty member can ask students to be masked, the student may refuse, may not do it. The student, she cannot throw the student out. We understand that. But the faculty member can ask that I ask anybody in this room to be masked. The provost is right now saying they cannot do that. That's wrong.
We can ask people to be masked. I've seen, there's so many signs up right now saying, you know, mask up nights, this is what we do. But we can't, I can't enforce that. I pass people in the hall up here on the third floor of Milliken who aren't wearing a mask. I can't grab them by the throat and say, you know, why are you endangering me? Put your mask on. I can't do it.
Can I suggest that we caucus?
Okay.
And I think that the easiest way to do that is to have the Board of Trustees
we'll
go into a breakout room.
Yeah,
we will do that.
Okay. And then
we can provide a breakout room, but since I think it's we're managing the meeting, I think I'm not sure.
You can make me host or something if you want.
Yeah, Brianna's you can figure out how to way to get us out of this and let them talk.
That's great, because there's more of them.
Yeah, I figured that would be an easier thing.
Will it change if I'm recording?
Can you turn off the recording right now, and then we'll turn it back on when we resume?
Recording in progress.
Okay, so, I think, Sherry, as you probably noticed, there are a lot of concerned people here, and each one of them has something to say. And sadly, there are people here whose loved ones have caught COVID, vaccinated people as well, and, you know, people like you and me who got early in the year, the booster is not yet there. So these are not normal circumstances. And under normal circumstances, if we had taken precautions like 500 other universities have done, I don't think we would be talking about this. But the point is that we are being forced to work under hazardous conditions. And I don't think anyone can argue about that. And so I think what I would hope is that you would take these, what has been discussed here back to BOT and come back. We are ready. I know we have to give 48 hours notice. We are willing to talk again on Friday. And we hope that you will come back and that we will agree on an MOU that does not get you in conflict with the governor's orders, but that it clarifies for people who have put their lives at stake. I never thought we'd be talking about that. I mean, you never thought that we were frontline workers, but you know, it seems rather ridiculous, but that's what it is. I hope that we don't get to the point where we have to compel you to come. I hope that you will come and discuss this with the president and with the provost and come back, and we can come up with a reasonable set of guidelines that we will also work on that. We have learned a lot from today from talking to people. There are measures that can be taken. There are little things like masks can be provided, home testing kits can be provided, the measures that can be taken so that we get the word out to faculty who are there to train students, because they know that they have to do their job, that they are being recognized and that we are concerned about their safety as well as the safety of everybody else around them. So I think we can do that. And that would be my message, that you do talk and that we have a meeting on Friday and that you respond to our MOU. Basically remove what you would like to be removed, and then we can give you a counter MOU. And I think through a few iterations, I am confident that we can come up with an MOU. UWF just got one I think we can do even better than what they did. I think all campuses are in the process of getting an MOU signed. MOU makes a difference because it is working conditions are not the same as those were in February of 2020. So that's what I have to say here.
And Talat, when you say you hope you don't have to compel us to do this, are you talking about filing a ULP? Is that what you're
saying? Well, I, as you know, I'm a novice at this, but I'll find out the rules. So apparently, you know, there are the conditions.
Talat, let me jump in.
Okay, I know that's the pro who's going to speak now. Go ahead, John.
We'll explore all options that we have to pursue an MOU in this regard.
Okay. But I hope that we don't have to do that. I hope that, you know, there's enough of an understanding between among us and the administrators here that we can come up with a reasonable MOU without going beyond UCF. That would be my desire.
Robert, did you want to say anything about the masks that you UFF is sending out?
I will. I'll do it through mass email. So I'm trying not to communicate in small pockets and want to kind of do it at one time. But Jana and I have everything all worked out at this point.
That's great. Thanks.
Do I see a hand? Is there somebody who wants to speak? Joanna, did you want to speak?
No, I just thumbs up.
Okay. All right.
All right, Talat. I think we're
okay.
I think we're okay for now.
Okay.
All right. Unless you have anything else, Sherry.
No, I can hear Sherry. Anyone else?
So we're going to stop the recording then?
I think we can.
Yes. All right.